Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a starting receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, L. Martin, on this Thursday, December 7th, 2017. So glad you allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. We've got a great show coming your way, one that is going to be filled with a ton of talk surrounded around not just the Detroit Lions, as I promised on yesterday's Current Sports. I was going to finally address the Lions' woes and the chances of the Honolulu Blue making the NFL playoffs. The only hope they have now is, of course, a wild card selection. Those chances took a hit this past Sunday as the Lions fell on the road out in Baltimore against the Ravens. And you're starting to hear a lot of chatter ramp up concerning the job security of head coach Jim Caldwell. We'll address that talk in just a moment, but in what is quite possibly the, well, I don't think quite possibly, it is the biggest news of the day in the world of sports, that concerns former Michigan State University and USA Gymnastics team doctor Larry Nassar. He has been sentenced to 60 years in prison on child pornography charges. We actually have our very own Scott Pohl, who has been covering this story all morning. He'll be joining us live here on Current Sports to update us on the happenings of today as it concerns Larry Nassar. And then we hope to have around the 1:30 mark, we hope to bring on the show Taya Reimer, former Notre Dame women's basketball player, now with the Michigan State women's basketball team, as Taya Reimer actually traveled back to Indiana to take on her former team, the Fighting Irish. It was not close whatsoever, but I tell you what, Michigan State taking on UConn, the number one women's college basketball team in the nation, not too long ago, and now coming off last night's loss to Notre Dame, you better believe that those two games are going to pay dividends that we won't be able to see in the win column, of course, but later on this season. So we hope to have Taya Reimer a part of the show, and then on the back end, we will have Throwback Thursday and so much more, all the while taking your calls and reading your comments. Multiple ways in which you can weigh in right here live on WKAR's Current Sports. Just simply pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also go to our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/currentsports. And oh my goodness, I tell you what, I think I hit the wrong button here. I can't help but laugh. Isaac, I just want you, Engineer Isaac Constance, I just want you to go to our Facebook page right now at facebook.com/currentsports, because you know what? Facebook, this is so annoying, and I knew one day I was going to do this. This is so annoying. In order for me to hit the live stream button, I have to go through these filters are on Facebook. I accidentally hit a filter, and right now I am looking pretty crazy on our facebook.com/currentsports live stream. Okay, we have multiple people weighing in. I may just leave this Snapchat filter. That's the thing. They took it from Snapchat, and now it's on Facebook. I may just leave this up because this is quite comical.
Facebook. Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, you got to check it out. Facebook.com/CurrentSports. The live stream is up and running. Comments are flowing in under that live stream. You can also join us via Twitter as well. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me at my official Twitter handle at Al Martin, WKAR. I'll keep this up at least until we're done with what's next. Your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, Susie Merchants, MSU women's basketball team. They were blown out by the number 3 Notre Dame Fighting Irish last night in South Bend, Indiana. 90-59 was the final. Now the Spartans will fall to 5-3 on the season. The Spartans shot a really just not great 30.8% from the floor. Only had 2 players score in double figures. Center Jenna Allen actually led the way for Michigan State, scoring a career-high 28 points while shooting 10 of 18 from the field and 3 of 4 from three-point land. Guard/forward Lexi Gussard was the other Spartan to score in double digits, scoring 11 points on 3 of 7 shooting from the floor. Merchant's team looks to bounce back this Saturday at 2 p.m. as they will host the 1-7 Rhode Island Rams. That game can be seen on BTN Plus. All right, the Michigan State University hockey team will take on in-state rival Michigan tonight at Yost Ice Arena out in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Puck drop scheduled at 7:30 p.m. The Spartans are coming off a weekend in which they were swept by the number 4 Fighting Irish in a home weekend series. Danton Cole's squad only scored 1 goal during the series, with that goal coming from forward Taro Hirose in the first period of Friday night's game. Now, after tonight's game, the 7-8-1 Spartans will come back to East Lansing tomorrow night to host the 6-6-2 Wolverines. The puck drop for that one is scheduled for 7:05 p.m., and both games can be heard on the Spartan Sports Network. All right, former Detroit Tigers outfielder and Spartan legend Kirk Gibson. He was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame on Tuesday night at the New York Hilton Midtown's Grand Ballroom with former players and coaches such as Peyton Manning, Brian Urlacher, and Steve Spurrier. Gibson earned first-team All-Big Ten and first-team All-American honors as a senior while helping the Spartans, lead the Spartans, I should say, to a share of the 1978 Big Ten Championship and a number 12 ranking by the Associated Press. Gibson set career highs that year, scoring 7 touchdowns while bringing in 42 receptions for 804 receiving yards. Gibson, who's also currently battling Parkinson's disease, is 4th in MSU football history in career receiving yards with 2,347, 3rd in receiving touchdowns with 24, and is 1st in average receiving yards per catch with 20.96 yards per catch. Congratulations to Gibby, a well-deserved honor. All right, fast forward from Gibson's time as a player to the present, and we still have records being broken as Mark D'Antonio's college football team broke a program record 26 academic All-Big Ten honorees. Now, for some background, to be eligible for academic All-Big Ten selection, students must be on a varsity team as verified by being on the official squad list as of November 1st, of course, and who have been enrolled full-time at the institution for a minimum of 12 months and carry a cumulative grade point average of 3.0 or higher. Pretty impressive stuff. This year's honorees also features 11 students who are winning this honor for the second and third time, including Brian Allen, his third time, Chris Fry, his third time, as well as the third time for Jake Hartbarger. MSU will look to take their knowledge on the field on December 28th, of course, in the Holiday Bowl as they will take on the Washington State Cougars out in San Diego. South Carolina announced the firing of offensive coordinator Kurt Roper yesterday. Co-offensive coordinator Brian McClendon will call offensive plays for the Gamecocks in the Outback Bowl on January 1st. Coach Will Muschamp will not name Roper's replacement until after the bowl game against the Michigan Wolverines. Roper spent the past two seasons at South Carolina and also coached with Muschamp at Florida back in 2014. And the Detroit Pistons, after a poor third quarter, that cost them a 9-point halftime lead exactly, and the Milwaukee Bucks ended up coming out firing to start the fourth. The Bucks began the final period on a 14-1 run and held on for a 104-100 win against the Detroit Pistons. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 25 points and 10 boards. Chris Middleton had 21 points, including four free throws in the final 20 seconds to help seal the deal. The Bucks win for the fourth time in five games. Eric Bledsoe also added 22. Andre Drummond had 27 points, 20 boards for the Pistons, which now are on a four-game losing streak. They will next play the Golden State Warriors. And Darius Slay, he leads the Pro Bowl vote for NFC corners with 1 week left in balloting. A Lions standout has amassed 140,666 votes so far. Slay has four interceptions this season, which is tied for the league across the NFL for all corners. He was a second alternate for last year's Pro Bowl. So congratulations to Darius Slay. Positive coming out of a very bad stretch of football for the Detroit Lions. Speaking of the Lions, we'll have more on their playoff chances in just a moment. That and so much more. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Let's start the show.
Want to see flag football, then let's take our pads off. That would make it easier for me, because now I don't got to wear heavy. But give us flags for me to pull off, because that way I know what we're playing. You know, I signed up to play full speed contact football, and we're not doing that. I feel like I got to ask a guy, hey, are you ready for me to hit you right now before I hit you? And that's crazy. I'm going to mess around and get hurt trying to protect an offensive player because he's running an over route. Damn it, your quarterback shouldn't have threw that ball messed up. That happened 2 years ago. I'm not joking at all. Andy Dalton threw a ball to Tyler Eifert 2 years ago. Tyler Eifert had to dive for it. I was aiming for his gut. But if he don't dive, he don't get in the head. That's 50 grand out of my pocket, though, because Andy throws a bad ball. Make that make sense. And at first, you're taking our money, but now, you know, I got Matt Hasselbeck calling me a dirty player and trying my character, and we've never met before. I donate more money to Cincinnati, underprivileged kids, and probably people on the Bengals. So don't give me that name. My nephew goes to school there, man. I take all that personally. If you don't know me, if you never had a conversation with me, don't judge us by what you see on football, because football is my competitive side. You know what I'm saying? So it's just so much going on in the game right now. Yes, obviously I'm a little flustered, but, I mean, we just got to do better. We got to do better. I said it yesterday. We got to do better as players when we sign the next CBA. We got to get better leadership as who's running the league, because obviously everybody from fans, owners, players are all disappointed in Roger Goodell. We just got to do better. We can't have a guy where you just hand out discipline on how you see fit. There needs to be a set guideline of how we do what we do.
Give enough respects to Afrika Bambaataa as a...
And that is how we start this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. A little Tribe intermixed with Mike Mitchell going off. Oh, boy, I heard that rant this morning, and I said, yep, that's how I'm starting today's show. A very impassioned and pretty on the point, if you ask me. I mean, he nailed it. Absolutely fantastic. I mean, who would have thought that Mike Mitchell would have, you know, put together and laid out like that what defensive players in the NFL are really complaining about. I didn't see that coming from Mike. Have never heard Mike go off like that. He's usually, I think, well-tempered in his post-game media availabilities. But, you know, after the Steelers and Bengals game on Monday night, which was filled with a ton of emotion and a ton of just really dirty hits, you know, Mike felt the need to just go off. Yeah, the Steelers safety. He stood in front of his locker and went on a two-minute rant, which you heard the gist of, that touched on just about everything relating to football and questions that many people had concerning the physical play of that Monday night football game. Mike basically saying that football is soft now. It's really hard to, as a defender, avoid head-to-head contact at times, especially when guys are coming down the middle and diving for footballs because you're aiming for the chest, but all of a sudden that receiver dives, and then boom, it's helmet-to-helmet contact. And he feels as though the league is babying offensive players or players, period, and there needs to be set criteria when it comes to the punishment of players who are flagged for targeting and helmet-to-helmet calls. He called out Matt Hasselbeck as well, football analyst Matt Hasselbeck on ESPN, and said, hey, man, you don't know me. You don't know me, dude, to be spewing that kind of venom. So, and he also elaborated on, you know, how he feels Roger Goodell has too much power. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, who, by the way, just got paid. I mean, that brother, oh my goodness. If you didn't see this breaking news yesterday, Roger Goodell has signed a 5-year contract extension to remain the commissioner of the NFL. The new contract worth $200 million. That's about $40 million annually. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. But, you know, Mike basically saying, look, man, Roger Goodell evaluating these hits and taking money out of the pockets of players, there needs to be a set criteria as to what we can do, what we can't do, what's illegal, what's not legal. It's a mess right now. When trying to look at certain plays, a lot of plays are bang in the NFL, and there is really no, and I have to agree with Mike, there really is no set hard criteria when it comes to the punishment of bang plays like we see each and every Sunday in the NFL. So salute to you, Mike. I thought that was a very well put together rant, very honest and very to the point. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We've got a lot to get to when it comes to today's show. And later on this hour, we hope to invite Taya Reimer of the MSU women's basketball team. Of course, Taya is a senior forward and transfer from Notre Dame. Susie Merchant's team took quite the licking last night on the road out in South Bend. And I'm sure it was a game filled with a lot of emotions for Reimer, seeing as though she's returning to, you know, her home state of Indiana to play in that game. We also hope to get an update on the whole Larry Nassar sentencing in federal court. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, Larry Nassar, he was sentenced today to 60 years in prison on child pornography charges. Here's a direct quote coming from U.S. District Judge Janet Neff. Quote, you have to wonder whether he felt he was omnipotent, whether he felt he was getting away with something so cleverly. He has demonstrated that he should never again have access to children. So there are many women and girls out there
who are following this case and who want justice and talk about emotions, right? Many women who have been victims of this sick man feeling all of the feels today. So again, we hope to have Scott Pohl, part of WKAR's Current Sports, to give us an update. He has been following the story throughout the morning and now into, of course, the afternoon. But I want to get to your Detroit Lions. I said that I would start with the Detroit Lions, and I'm going to do that. Man of my word. The Lions have come back to earth, for lack of better terms. The hearts of fans everywhere ripped out due to the realization that this football franchise, yet again, does not have the pieces to compete, let alone make the NFL playoffs. The Lions are coming off a 44-20 loss at the hands of the Baltimore Ravens. And let's be real here. The Lions just aren't a good football team. You know, we're approaching now 3 decades for the Honolulu Blue without a playoff win. And again, the chances of this team making the big dance took a huge hit on Sunday. Everything that could have gone wrong against the Ravens did. I mean, my goodness, watching that game, you know, the defense made quarterback Joe Flacco look like Tom Brady numerous times. The offense struggled to find any kind of consistency. Matthew Stafford, and this is why, you know, I look at this team now, and statistically, they do have a shot at making the wild card, but when you have your starting quarterback, a quarterback who has pulled you out of the depths numerous times, that you know, when you look at the fourth quarter comebacks for this team last year, it was due to quarterback Matthew Stafford. He is the guy that you cannot get injured if you are a Detroit Lions player, fan, what have you. This is your guy. This is the franchise, the highest paid player in the league. And he got his throwing hand, his right hand, stomped on by linebacker Terrell Suggs on Sunday out in Baltimore. Now, the good thing is x-rays came back negative and the hand is not broken. However, it's not 100%. It's reported that there is still swelling. It's still bruised. The hand of Matthew Stafford is not 100%. And the Lions don't have an efficient replacement. Former quarterback for the University of Michigan, Jake Rudock, he is the backup to Matthew Stafford. And what happened when Stafford went out with that hand injury? Oh, all Jake Rudock did was come in and throw a pick six. That's all he did. And it was back to the bench for Mr. Jake Rudock, and you had Matthew Stafford in there just laboring, trying to get by. He suffered ligament damage to that throwing hand last season. So a bit of deja vu here, right? And when Matthew Stafford injured that throwing hand last year, he was a different player. Detroit ended up losing 4 straight games after a 9-4 start, including that 26-6 playoff beating that still haunts fans to this day. Matt Prater, also, he wasn't great, and he's been relatively consistent for this team, and I think that he deserves the money that he got. But Matt Prater was not great on Sunday either. He missed his first field goal inside of 50 yards all season long, and his first extra point of the season. Pretty uncharacteristic for Matt Prater. And the slow starts. I just don't understand the slow starts for this Lions team. Again, they look at the game like a light switch where they think they can just turn it on whenever they feel like it, and they're going to miraculously pull out the win. I don't understand it. And you know what? This directly speaks to coaching, which I'll get to Jim Caldwell in just a moment. But the fact that the Detroit Lions, every Sunday, come out the gates, come out that tunnel, not mentally prepared to compete, that speaks to coaching. The Lions came into that game against the Ravens as a team with a 46-point differential. A minus 46-point differential. That's the 31st worst mark in the NFL this season. And after Sunday's first quarter had ended against the Ravens, you could make that a minus 49-point differential when it comes to opponents the Lions have faced in the first quarter. That's crazy. Then the Lions shot themselves in the foot when Matthew Stafford fumbled a snap with the team well within field goal range from Matt Prater. It was ugly, really ugly on Sunday. The Lions also continued, and this is why many, including myself, have not been high on the Lions this year. Offensively, they have no balanced attack, and they haven't had a balanced attack for a long time, all right? Sure, Matthew Stafford can zing it down the field, very consistent quarterback, a very tough quarterback, but my goodness, you're asking a lot of him when you don't have a run game. The Lions continued the crazy streak of not having a 100-yard rusher for yet another Sunday. That streak is in, I believe, now the high 60s. I will say this, though. However, there may be some hope with Teon Green. I guess Jim Caldwell did listen to you guys, and Jim Bob Cooter did listen to you guys when it came to the whole running back discussion, you know, trying to force-feed the fans players like Amir Abdullah, as well as Zach Zinner, who came in for a snap on Sunday. But Teon Green from Cincinnati, he came in. He had 11 carries for 51 yards. He had that 133-yard rush. That was very impressive. Even had a touchdown, something you don't see when discussing Lions running backs. So maybe that's a glimmer of hope when it comes to the run game. But let's be real here. That offensive line isn't great either. Got to open up holes for him. I don't care who's back there. Not everybody is Barry Sanders, right? And then the 9 players on the field. My goodness. Could not believe that. 9 players on the field. I kid you not, which is not illegal. I mean, heck, you can send like 5 players on the field as long as you don't have more personnel than 11 on the football field. But the Lions, Jim Caldwell, I just don't understand how this can happen. On a crucial 3rd and 7, the Lions actually lined up on the field with 9 players on the defensive side of the football. This is when the Lions were trying to come back, trying to flip that switch to on. They had cut a 20-point lead to 7. The Ravens facing a crucial 3rd and 7 late in the third quarter. The Lions said, hey, let's throw 9 out there. Oh, boy. 2 plays later, Baltimore scored and ended the game. Jim Caldwell mentioned he had to fix the problem of not having 11 men on the field after, you remember, the Thanksgiving Day debacle where the Lions had 10 men on the field for a Kyle Rudolph touchdown against the Minnesota Vikings. So this has happened now back-to-back weeks. I don't get it. And when it comes to the whole playoffs discussion, the Lions just aren't there yet. The playoffs are not in the cards for the Detroit Lions this season. I'm sorry to say it, but it's true. You know, and I've been a big advocate in saying, hey, the Lions will at least make the wild card this year. And again, statistically, yeah, they still could. They still could. But let's keep it real here. When you look at this team and look at what's happened in the last 2 weeks, you really think the Lions are going to make the wild card? Come on. Sure. The Atlanta Falcons, and by the way, Isaac, your New Orleans Saints, that's going to be a fun game tonight on Thursday Night Football. The Saints and Falcons, I would be glued in front of my television for that, man. I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, sure, you know, looking at this past weekend, sure, the Falcons lost, but the Lions could not capitalize on their opportunity to pull even with the reigning NFC champions. The Packers came from behind to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in overtime. So right now you look at the Green Bay Packers, they actually have the same record as the Detroit Lions at 6-6. And The next time the Lions probably play the Green Bay Packers, I'm looking at reports, and Aaron Rodgers should be eligible to return in about 2 weeks. So Brent Huntley goes to the bench, and then you have the bad man that is Aaron Rodgers coming back. That could bode not well for the Detroit Lions. Now, the job security of Jim Caldwell. I just noted how Jim has not been able to get his team mentally focused before games, how this defense has had back-to-back weeks in which they have, on crucial plays, not had 11 players on the field. I mean, that's elementary stuff. All right. Now, you look at Jim. You know, he led the Lions to the playoffs twice in his first three seasons. His current 53% winning percentage still ranks as tops among full-time Lions coaches in the Super Bowl era. And these next 4 weeks will be telling. And you better believe that former New England Patriots player personnel assistant, now Lions general manager, Bob Quinn, is going to be evaluating the coaching ability of Caldwell very, very closely. Where is the franchise headed? Where are the Detroit Lions headed with Jim Caldwell as the head coach? Can Jim Caldwell have sustainable success? Those are questions that Bob Quinn will have, I believe, a definite answer to as we hit the home stretch of the NFL year for the Detroit Lions. Also playing a factor in this whole Jim Caldwell discussion, many of you calling for the job of Caldwell already, including myself. But I will say, come this weekend, if the and I'll say it right now, if the Lions lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I would not be surprised if Caldwell was out of a job after Sunday. But also playing a factor in this whole thing is, if you remember, Caldwell did sign that multi-year contract extension this past spring, an agreement that will factor into any decision from Bob Quinn concerning the future of Jim Caldwell. And my question is, Lions fans, I mean, how are you grading this team right now? Are you satisfied with Jim Caldwell? A year ago, the Lions lost their last three games, blew any chance of a home playoff game. Seattle, as I mentioned, crushed them, absolutely stomped on them in the wild card game. 2 years ago, yeah, the Lions won six of their last eight after starting, talk about slow starts, after starting 1-7 that season, they went nowhere. In 2014, they won four in a row, but lost to the Green Bay Packers in the final regular season game, then hit the road for the playoffs, and as you guessed it, lost. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are next, a team that is on a two-game losing streak, the most recent coming against the Aaron Rodgers-less Green Bay Packers, a team in the Buccaneers that has lost seven of its last games. Last nine games, excuse me, seven of the last nine. Lose this one, and the head coaching seat of Jim Caldwell, I think we light it on fire, Isaac. You can't lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, dude. That leash is so short right now. Your thoughts on the Lions? I think we talked about it the last minute. You don't believe the Lions are making the playoffs, do you?
No, not a chance.
Not making the playoffs, but you stated that you think that Jim Caldwell will stick around.
Unpopular opinion. Yep.
I asked you, with four games left this year, if they lose to the Bucs, if they continue to crack the bed here, you think Jim Caldwell is going to continue to be the head coach of this team?
Honestly, I think it's worth more evaluation than just this next game. Now, they have to beat the Buccaneers if they want any chance of a decent, lukewarm season, even. There's no mistake about that. The Bucs are a terrible team, and the Lions are a decent team coming off a playoff year. Again, the Lions have a lot of holes to fill, but at the same time, talent-wise, they are far superior to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But
Caldwell, that's why, when you say that, that's why I'm so critical of
Caldwell. But it's one game.
You got the pieces.
Okay.
The pieces are there.
out.
And the way you can't trot nine players on the
field. I hear you. And those are mistakes.
And he did the same thing.
Those are mistakes.
Against the Vikings.
But Al, it's not about
coaching mistakes.
It's not just about Caldwell. It's about, okay, Jim Caldwell's out of here. What next? You got to ask yourself you need a solution.
I say Bob McAdoo. I like that for the Lions. Bob is out there. Bob, just eight months ago, we were praising Bob McAdoo for what he was doing with the New York Giants.
Well,
right?
12 months ago, weren't we praising Jim Caldwell before the last three losing streak?
It's fool's gold.
Forced losing streak? Okay, but were we not praising him?
I looked at Jim and said, okay, let's see what he does this year. I said, okay. I didn't praise him. I said, all right. He's done. And again, when looking at in comparison to past coaches for this team, especially recent past coaches for this team, Jim Caldwell's had success with this team. But I look at the details. When having this conversation, I look at the details. You can't trot out nine players on the dang football field, Isaac, less than 11 back-to-back weeks. And the fact that you can't get this team prepared to come out the gates ready to play Sunday after. They've done this all year, Isaac. That is a coaching problem. And again, I'm giving him a bit of a longer leash because I want to see what happens in these next 4 weeks. Let's say if he goes above 500, okay, we can have a conversation about, all right, sticking to that extension, keeping him around. Because it's all about seeing improvement for this team. Jim knows he is not, and he's been very honest in his press conferences. That's one thing I like about Jim, too. When he goes to the podium, he says, look, it's on me. I screwed this up. He owns it up. He takes responsibility other than, you know, for instance, Brad Ausmus, manager of the Detroit Tigers. Jim at least owns his messes. At some point, you got to start producing, dude. And these 4 weeks are going to be very telling. And I tell you what, who also deserves a lot of criticism is Bob Quinn as well. Mm-hmm. Bob Quinn, as a general manager, has not done a great job this year. So the spotlight is on Jim Caldwell, though. The
thing with Jim Caldwell, though, you brought it up. Recent Lions coaches haven't been good. I want to test that word recent. Who's the last coach, you think, to lead the Detroit Lions to an average record as a head coach of even over 500? Guess.
I don't know. What, Jim Schwartz or something?
No. Jim Schwartz had a 36% winning percentage. The last coach for the Lions to have over a 500 record was Gary Moore. That was in 2000. He was an interim coach even. He coached about seven games for that team. The last coach to do it over multiple years was in 1972, Al. 1972. If you've got something good, keep it. I'm not saying Caldwell is perfect, but I'm saying as an LSU fan, somebody who saw Les Miles leave the program,
I hear you,
get axed by the program in favor of Ed Orgeron.
You're not comparing Les Miles to Jim Caldwell, are you?
I am in a way.
Oh, stop it,
because the thing is,
two different comparisons.
Two very different coaches. But the thing is, you look at the overall success of what they might have done with that program, and even though it hasn't been the best recently, the thing is, it's better than what you had beforehand. And you can't take it for granted. The Detroit Lions are finally competitive. We are still talking about them in the playoff picture.
When you talk about, and I hear what you're saying, when you talk about Lions, Jim Caldwell having this kind of success in comparison to past Lions coaches, you're comparing it to a bunch of crap.
Yes, you know, of course.
You've got to grade this with a curve, I guess you can say, right? It depends on the expectations that fans have for this team. If you're happy with just getting in every single year on a wild card and going out in that wild card game and not hosting a playoff game, stick with Jim Caldwell. If that's how you're measuring success here, but if you legitimately want to not just make the playoffs, win the NFC North, host a playoff game, have a deep run in the playoffs, and possibly nip at a Super Bowl, Jim Caldwell is not going to lead the Detroit Lions to a Super Bowl.
But you think Bob McAdoo will? You think Bob McAdoo will?
They need a change. And I'm saying, you talk about who else is out there. I think Bob McAdoo could possibly be a better fit than Jim Caldwell.
Before the Lions make a Super Bowl or even make a run in the playoff, they might need another number one draft pick. They might need to restructure.
Certainly. Especially that line. Yeah,
exactly. Offensive line and position after position on the defense. Get some new linebackers. Get a few more members in the secondary. It's not just coaching.
I understand that. You got to look at the big picture here. But my goodness, when you cannot get your team ready to play coming out the gates. And again, you put nine players in the field, Isaac. Come on, dude. That's coaching. That's a direct shot at your head coach. We got to hit our first break here. When we come back,
we hope to hear from Scott Pohl, who's working really, really hard right now. He's covering the Larry Nassar sentencing in federal court. Hope to get Tara Reimer on. Her schedule's crazy right now. That and so much more. We got a lot to get to. I'll read a few of your comments. I know your comments are rolling in via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Call in as well. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I'm curious to hear your thoughts when it comes to the job of Jim Caldwell. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Multiple ways in which you can join us here as we have about 20 minutes left in the hour. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can go to facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. Many of you commenting on the job security of course, Jim Caldwell. Ben says, Caldwell has lost control of the team, but you can't do anything about the injuries. Injuries happen, but it's next man up mentality, and nobody is stepping up when guys get injured, and that's disappointing. But you got to protect the quarterback. Then he goes on to say, the mental penalties are absolutely ridiculous and uncalled for. This team is not motivated and not inspired to play anymore. So there you have Ben chiming in on the woes of the Lions in regards to injuries, in regards to those who are trying to step up and fill the voids of certain injuries on the team. But, you know, we'll see what happens with this team. I think the Tampa Bay is going to win this Sunday. I you know, Matthew Stafford's hand not being 100% being the deciding factor for me when evaluating that game. So we'll see what happens, man. The Lions are just garbage right now. I got to be honest and real with you guys. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. James weighs in via facebook.com/currentsports and says Jim Caldwell has to be fired. All right, line one, one of our dear friends of the show, my man Austin from Kalamazoo. Austin, how you doing, my friend?
What's up, Al? You doing all right, man?
I'm blessed, brother. What's on your mind?
Not too much. So I got a couple things. First thing, I feel like Isaac has a Mamba out moment with me and the Lions, because at the beginning of the season, he and I were going back and forth like crazy. I was like, they'll go 12-4. And, of course, Isaac, no way that's going to happen. And so I'm kind of eating my own words right now. So Isaac has a Mamba out moment right now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't know what you were sipping when you called up and said that. I gave you a look like you got to be kidding me, Austin. But I mean, come on, it's the Detroit Lions here. You knew they were going to come back to earth. It's just, I mean, there's multiple things wrong with this team right now. The offensive line is beaten up. The defensive line can get no pressure on any quarterback. Ezekiel Ansah, he isn't 100%. Jarrett Davis, who I like at linebacker, the rookie coming in, I love his energy, I love his leadership, but he made a few mental blunders against the Ravens this past Sunday.
Right.
And you talk about Matthew Stafford, he deserves some criticism in this thing as well. I love Matthew Stafford. He is the guy for the Honolulu Blue, but my goodness, I don't know why he hasn't been feeding Golden Tate, who's been the bread and butter for this team, and his passing yards for at least the first half of the season. I don't know where that is gone. So there's a lot of things wrong with the squad right now, Austin.
Yeah, I think it needs to be a culture change, definitely. And then my last two quick points. You know, yeah, Isaac is my guy. You know, I fell in love with Isaac.
One
of the greatest men. I built a relationship with Alex, built a relationship with Isaac. So, Ian, you're in the back room right now. The key to success on this show is, one, be a great trash talker, because that's all Al does.
That's all I do, man.
And two, you got to build a relationship with me. You got to build a relationship with me, and then you'll go down in history as one of the GOAT engineers for Current Sports. And I'll officially make December 14th, next Wednesday, National Isaac Costas Day.
Yeah, I like that. Look at that, Isaac. That's your biggest fan, Austin. I tell you, dude.
Oh man, yeah, Austin. You know, you're my guy, and we always talk trash too. And my favorite thing about Austin, when he calls into the show, is he's got a breadth of knowledge about obscure 2000s and 1990s basketball players, which, Al, we were saying Bob McAdoo, too. We had our basketball hats on. It's Ben McAdoo, of course, for the Giants. We were thinking way back into the 70s that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Ben McAdoo, yes. Yeah, I can't even pronounce the dude's name. But he still needs to. He's a better coach than Jim Caldwell.
And that's true.
That is very true. Hey, you guys have a good one. Hey, Isaac, I'll miss you, man, but definitely got to stay in touch.
Oh, no doubt.
We'll
Austin,
have the swan song next Wednesday. Definitely. Right, you got to call in, man.
I don't call to talk to Al. I call to talk to Isaac.
I know. I see that. I see that, Austin. Goodbye. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. I want to get to Scott Pohl now, who has been following the Dr. Larry Nassar sentencing that has been dominating storylines across the nation. And for those who have been following it, you all know that Dr. Larry Nassar, the former USA gymnastics team doctor, former doctor here at Michigan State University, who has been accused of assaulting more than 140 women or girls, he was sentenced today to 60 years in prison on child pornography charges. I want to get to WKAR news reporter Scott Pohl right now. Again, he's been following this story throughout the morning and now into the afternoon. Scott, first off, welcome to Current Sports. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Al. Thanks. How are you?
I'm well. Scott, can you update our audience? I just, you know, kind of, riddled out what has happened today. Again, sentenced to 60 years in prison on child pornography charges. You've been following this thing throughout the morning. Can you just sort of set the scene when it comes to your firsthand coverage of this story?
Well, the proceedings were in the courtroom of federal U.S. District Court Judge Janet Neff in the federal building in Grand Rapids, and she was sentencing Larry Nassar on a total of three counts. The first two had to do with the possession of an enormous amount of child pornography images and videos, and the third count had to do with the attempt to destroy evidence or dispose of evidence. The maximum sentence for each of those counts was 20 years, and that's exactly what Judge Neff gave Larry Nassar as a sentence today. And they will run consecutively. That means that they add up to 60 years. They will not be running at the same time. So he will spend at least the next 60 years in prison. Now, he has 14 days to appeal that sentence. And since he was given the maximum sentence, there's no reason not to appeal. So it would not be a surprise at all if Larry Nassar appeals that sentence.
The scene in the courtroom, Scott, you were there. What was that scene like?
Well, the court was jam-packed with reporters and observers that included a number of the survivors or victims of Larry Nassar. And when he entered the courtroom in handcuffs, a hush fell over the crowd, as you might imagine. Mm-hmm. He did speak at one point during the proceedings. You're going to have to give me a moment to go through my notes to find some of his remarks, Al. He said that he's been battling this for a considerable amount of time. I'm ashamed. I lost everything because of this. I tried to be a good person. I tried to help people. I've asked my priest to pray for me. I've always been a man of faith. I asked God to help the victims with the healing process. Clearly, Judge Neff was not buying that line of argument when she handed out her sentence. She referred to the enormous number of images and that he had made some of his own videos. It was unlike any case, she says, she had ever seen. And she also referred to the fact that in her mind, it clearly reflects his understanding of his crimes, the fact that he tried to dispose of evidence and the damage that he faced if his crimes had been discovered. He violated, in the judge's words, the doctor's pledge to first do no harm. She said she had reviewed all of the victim statements that had been received by the court, statements referring to how victims say they have had their sense of self-worth destroyed and that they're trying hard to restore their sense of self-worth. Larry Nassar is 54. He's now divorced. He has three children. And the judge said the dark side of his nature played out outside of his family life. She also said that she's a mother of two daughters. And quoting here, I cannot imagine that kind of situation. She was referring to the cases we've heard about where not only did he physically abuse athletes in his care during treatment, but in some cases, parents were actually in the room at the time. So the judge, you could say she threw the book at him today.
Wow. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are talking with WKAR news reporter Scott Pohl, who has been covering the sentencing of former gymnastics doctor Larry Nassar. And you mentioned how Judge Neff said that this is unlike any case she's ever tried. And, you know, you mentioned the videos. What do you mean by the videos, Scott?
Well, of course, I've not seen any of these images or videos. The one thing that came to light today in court is that apparently at least some of the videos in his possession involved his own children.
Wow. Boy, oh boy. Scott, where are we now with the Larry Nassar situation? I know this centered on the child pornography charges in relation to the, of course, the sexual assault charges concerning the more than 140 women or girls. Where are we with that? Where do we go now with this?
Well, in Ingham and Eaton counties, he has pleaded guilty to a total of 10 criminal sexual assault felonies. And his sentencing in Ingham County and Eaton County, both counties, will be on different dates in the month of January.
Okay. Do we know what those dates are specifically just yet?
You know what? They're buried in my notes somewhere. They're in the previous stories
right.
I've filed from both of those courts. I don't have them committed to memory.
Okay.
And I've also, Al, been at a press conference. In fact, I stepped out to take your call.
Yes.
With a number of the victims who are suing Nassar and Michigan State University, TwiStars, and USA Gymnastics. And some of them we've heard from before, and they are saying similar things to what we've heard them say before, understandably. Larissa Boyce pointedly said, I was blown away with what the judge did today. She referred to this as a positive step towards justice. And so they are continuing their remarks right now. I'm recording, but I'm not in the room right now since I'm on the phone with you.
There we go. And again, you can follow Scott's coverage. I know you've been tweeting a lot throughout the morning into the afternoon. You can follow Scott at Scott Pohl, P-O-H-L-W-K-A-R on Twitter. And I know that the attorney for Dr. Larry Nassar, he also described the demeanor after hearing the sentencings of Dr. Larry Nassar. The attorney for Larry Nassar, was it Matt Newberg, right, Scott?
Yes. He and Shannon Smith, the other attorney representing Larry Nassar, stopped on their way out of the federal building to speak briefly with reporters, and pretty much have summed up his remarks that Nassar is devastated. They expect that they would not be surprised if he does appeal the sentence. However, if he does so, it will be with different legal representation.
Okay. Scott Pohl.
They would not be representing him in any appeal.
Okay. Gotcha. So he'll have a different attorney there. Okay. Scott Pohl, we'll let you get back to work, my friend. Thank you so much for taking some time to join us here on Current Sports. We really appreciate it.
Glad to help, Al. Thanks.
It's at our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's Current Sports. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM.
Lakers. Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Nice
Benjamin. Back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. Goal! And there it goes! You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, you hear the music to close out each and every Thursday edition of Current Sports. We love to hop into our Current Sports time machine and take a look at exactly what happened on this day in sports history. Well, today is December 7th, and on this day back in 1925, swimmer Johnny Weissmuller set a world record in the 150-yard freestyle with a time of 1 minute and 25 and 2/5 seconds. He went on to play Tarzan in several movies. In 1939, Lou Gehrig was elected to baseball's Hall of Fame. He was the first player to have the rule waived that required a player to be retired 1 year before he could be elected. In 1963, CBS introduced the first ever instant replay during the Army-Navy football game. How about that? In 1978, Mike Bossy of the New York Islanders, he got his first career hat trick. In 1986, Huey Lewis and the News sang the U.S. National Anthem, a cappella, I should say, before a San Francisco 49ers and New York Jets NFL football game at Candlestick Park out in San Fran, California. And in 1988, the Texas Rangers signed free agent pitcher Nolan Ryan to a one-year contract. That does it for your Throwback Thursday. Much thanks to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Much thanks to Scott Pohl for joining us. Scott Pohl, of course, of WKAR News, who has been following this incredibly saddening story. When it comes to Larry Nassar, we'll have more coverage throughout the afternoon, which you can check out on our website at WKAR.org. I know Scott will be putting together some things for All Things Considered later on this afternoon as well. We hope to get Taya Reimer on the show tomorrow, MSU women's basketball senior forward. Taya will help us evaluate and dissect what went wrong for the MSU women's basketball team against Notre Dame last night. But in the meantime, we bid you all adieu. One more hour left in this week's Current Sports. See you tomorrow, folks. And as always, be easy, people.